Call the meeting to order and roll call, please.
Mr. Pataville.
Here.
Ms. Nimmons.
Here.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Here.
Dr. Webb.
Here.
Mr. Weising.
Here.
Mr. Welch.
Here.
Mr. Yost.
Here.
I would accept a motion to move to executive session.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board move into executive session to consider the employment of employees as permitted under Section 2C1 of the Open Meetings Act. Collective negotiating matters permitted by Section 2C2 of the Open Meeting Act. Student disciplinary cases as permitted by Section 2C9 of the Open Meetings Act. Pending probable or imminent litigation as permitted by Section 2C11. And executive session minutes as permitted by Section 2C21 of the Open Meetings Act.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Pataville.
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons.
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Yes.
Dr. Webb.
Yes.
Mr. Weising.
Yes.
Mr. Yost.
Yes.
Mr. Welch.
Yes. Moving to item three on the agenda, action items. Approval of minutes of June 21, 2010 board meeting and July 23rd and 24th at 10,000 board retreat.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Welch, I just want to point out an error that I made on the board retreat minutes. I misspelled Mr. Weising's name. I was consistent, but I misspelled it. So I want to apologize for that. Mr. Pataville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb? Mr. Weising?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes. Under 3B, executive session minutes, we, at least most of the board, have received minutes of executive session. We will be reviewing these, and if action is taken, we'll take action as needed at the November board meeting of the EIU Board of Trustees. Item C, statement on board responsibilities for intercollegiate athletics.
Mr. Welch, in the board packet that each board member received, there was a form from the Ohio Valley Conference. You've had a chance to review it. It is Ohio Valley Conference policy that the governing board of each member institution have the opportunity to review the form, and then if it desires to complete it and have it signed by the chairman of the board. You've had that copy to review. We do recommend to you that the Board of Trustees review and complete the Ohio Valley Conference Governing Board certification form.
Is there a motion for that action?
I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Pataville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Weising?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
And Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Welch, since this is an item about athletics, I thought it would be timely to also have a couple of presentations related to athletics at this time. So with your permission, we will have a presentation on intercollegiate athletics by our athletic director, Barbara Burke, and then also our annual report on Title IX compliance by Cynthia Nichols, the director of our Office of Civil Rights and Diversity.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you today. I'd like to start first by giving you an update on our NC2A recertification process that we've been going through since last August. Recently, we received our final analysis of our report that was submitted to the NC2A Committee on Athletics Certification. We have an opportunity to respond to that analysis by September 20th, and we are in the process of doing that currently with all of our subcommittees. This will be our last opportunity to respond prior to the visiting peer review team visit. That visit will begin on October 6th. They'll arrive late in the afternoon on that day, Wednesday, and they'll depart on Friday the 8th prior to noon. Their final meeting will be with Dr. Perry, and they will give Dr. Perry a briefing on their presentation during that review visit. At that time, once they write the report and it's returned back to Dr. Perry, the institution will have a two-week time period to respond to the report. We may only respond to factual errors. We may present new relevant information, or we can propose additional corrective actions, which would be a new action plan or a plan for improvement on any of the conditions that they might place on us. Once we do that, that information will then go back to the NC2A Committee on Athletic Certification for formal action, and we should receive the final response sometime in January 2011. And I want to thank all the individuals that have been involved in that. It's been a tedious but great process. Dr. Jill Owen, Chair of the Committee. Rob Miller, Chair of the Governance Subcommittee. Cynthia Nichols, Chair of the Gender, Diversity, and Student-Athlete Wellbeing Committee. And finally, Dr. Gail Richard, Chair of the Academic Integrity Subcommittee. Secondly, I want to provide what we've been doing in the past couple of years is our year-end review, and you have in front of you our document. And this year, instead of me regurgitating the information that is before you, we have a short video that I thought you might enjoy, and it brings out the highlights. Everything that's in the video is in written form in the document that you have, and then I'll step back to the microphone to answer any questions that you might have.
The 2009-10 season was a banner year for Eastern Illinois athletics, filled with big events, championship teams, community service, and success in the classroom. Eastern Illinois paid homage to some of its all-time greats throughout the course of the year, as former Walter Payton Award-winning quarterback Tommy Romo was inducted into the EIU Athletic Hall of Fame and also had his number 17 jersey retired in October. In February, EIU was blessed with the return of New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton, returning to the area to host the Athletic Director's Gala, fresh off his win in the Super Bowl. February also marked the end of a season-long celebration of 100 years of men's basketball, in which many former athletes returned to campus as EIU honored six former teams and 10 members of its all-century team. Success was found in the athletic arena, as well as Eastern Illinois laid claim to six conference championships en route to winning the Ohio Valley Conference Commissioner's Cup. The Panthers took home championships in football, women's basketball, men's and women's indoor track, and men's and women's outdoor track. Head football coach Bob Spoo and director of track and field Tom Akers were both named the OVC Coach of the Year in their respective sports. Grand total, 12 of Eastern Illinois' 17 sports placed fifth or better in their sports. Cap the year, senior track athlete Candace Arnold was named the OVC Female Athlete of the Year. Success on the field was also parlayed into success in the classroom, as EIU had three teams recognized by the NCAA for APR success. The Panthers posted a student athlete grade point average of 3.0 in the fall semester and 3.08 in the spring semester. Seven EIU student athletes were honored at the Panthers Scholar Athlete Banquet with the Presidential Award, which recognizes graduating seniors with a 3.75 or higher grade point average. The Panthers had five teams lead the OVC in terms of highest percentage of athletes on the OVC Commissioner's Honor Roll. EIU once again continued to integrate its student athletes into the local community, performing countless hours of community service. A new program, EPIC, which stands for Eastern Panthers in the Community, was created to help provide community service opportunities to EIU's 21 intercollegiate teams. Activities performed included such events as Habitat for Humanity, volunteering with Special Olympics and YMCA, food drives, reading and mentoring at local schools, and Take Back the Night. These projects are conducted by individual teams and the department as a whole. Success in the field, in the classroom, and in the community once again helped spearhead the development and fundraising efforts of the EIU Athletic Department. The Panther Club is currently in the midst of its annual campaign titled 2010 and 2010, which focuses on attaining 2010 members by the end of the 2010 calendar year. as part of that drive, athletics has seen a 12% increase in donations over last year, with more than $375,000 in gifts this year. The annual Spring Fling, which was once again a record-setting event, with $77,000 raised, plus six Panther Club golf outings, have totaled more than $85,000. As you can see, Panther Athletics is growing and moving forward in competitive excellence, academic success, adherence to rules, respect our tradition, respect of our community, and respect of our fan base. Eastern Illinois Athletics is 21 sports, one team, all champions.
The video really highlighted the season. We had a great year. We're very proud of the success of our athletes in the classroom, on the field, and in our community service. I would draw your attention to page 20 and 21 in your booklet. Those are our 2010-2011 Mission of Excellence goals that were established by our senior staff in a one-day retreat. Those are the items that we will focus on to work towards achievement this year. If the board has any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer those.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for it, so. And we have item two on Title IX compliance.
Good afternoon. Each year about this time, I have typically shared with you a brief summary of the results of the interest and abilities survey for intercollegiate sports. This year, President Perry suggested that I might take a few additional minutes to discuss Eastern's efforts to comply with Title IX in athletics, particularly as it relates to accommodating the interest and abilities of the underrepresented group at our campus, that is, women. It is also useful to do so at this time, as Eastern, as Dr. Burke has mentioned, is in the middle of the NC2A recertification process, and because the U.S. Office for Civil Rights has issued updated guidelines on assessing the interests and abilities of students. In determining whether equal athletic opportunities are available, the U.S. Office for Civil Rights considers whether an institution is effectively accommodating athletic interests and abilities of both sexes. There are three options for accommodating the interest of both sexes. Eastern, like most universities of our type, has opted to employ option three for compliance. Therefore, Eastern has committed itself to fully and effectively accommodating the interests and abilities of women students. To determine whether Eastern had complied with the interest and abilities option, the U.S. OCR would consider three questions. One, is there an unmet interest in a particular sport? Two, is there sufficient ability to sustain a team in that sport? And three, is there a reasonable expectation of competition for the team? If the answer to all three questions is yes, the university would not be fully and effectively accommodating the interests and abilities of women students. Most of my remaining comments today relate to question one. So how are universities expected to assess unmet interest in participating in intercollegiate sports? The OCR evaluates a broad range of indicators. They expect us to use multiple methods of assessing interest. They expect us to assess interest frequently, especially if there appears to be potentially growing interest in particular sports. and they expect us to employ non-discriminatory methods and processes in carrying out the assessment of interest. In addition, they expect us to consider multiple indicators of ability. This afternoon, I am focusing upon the assessment of interest. Eastern assesses potential athletic interest in women's teams in several ways. Eastern's Office of Civil Rights administers the interest and ability survey to new freshmen and to new transfers. Members of the athletics department review high school participation rates in girls' sports. The athletics department provides opportunities for students to request the consideration of the addition of a new varsity team or club. Members of the athletics department review trends in the viability of women's teams in our conference and in our geographic region. Eastern meets or exceeds the guidelines related to the frequency of conducting the assessment of potential interest in competing in intercollegiate women's sports. For example, over the past decade, the Civil Rights Office has surveyed new freshmen and new transfers 7 times. Athletics reviews high school team participation data at least every 4 years. They are currently completing such a review. Enrolled students may contact athletics administrators at all times to express interest in the addition of a new varsity team or club. Eastern uses non-discriminatory methods of assessment of unmet interest and abilities of students. Specifically, the high school participation numbers are public record. The mix of teams and the number of players in our conference and in our geographic region are also public record. Eastern's athletics department is charged with maintaining open lines of communication, enabling students to express opinions regarding potential sports. Athletics is expected to document these students' requests. The interest and ability survey is administered by the Civil Rights Office, which is, of course, an independent of the span of control of the athletics department. We do not handpick a small number of students to complete the survey. Instead, we attempt to survey all incoming new freshmen and new transfers. We have succeeded in obtaining very high rates of survey completion. Students are not monitored when they complete the surveys. They have the freedom to express their opinions. Student survey respondents are able to describe on the survey instrument their high school competitive experiences, as well as to express their opinions regarding the addition of sports at Eastern. The data is collected through an online survey system that is maintained by the Civil Rights Office. It is analyzed by its staff as well as by a consulting member of the faculty. The data is disclosed. It is reported to athletics and to other university officials. Our practices have anticipated the concerns that have been raised by the OCR for campuses as a whole. We already have in place practices that meet the recommendations contained in the most recent OCR guidance letter. In the last 2 years, large numbers of female students have completed the survey. During this summer, 84% of the female class completed the survey, and 37% of the female transfer students completed the survey. In summer 2009, 80% of the freshman class completed the survey, and 22% of the transfer students did so. The OCR suggests that the survey instrument should pose questions about potential interest in several ways, including questions both about varsity and intramural levels, hence the two columns in this table with slightly different numbers of responses. essentially responses that are reported in the FAR column reflect are a subset of the responses depicted in this column. The parentheses relate to the students who have indicated that they competed in interscholastic high school teams. In considering the total number of freshmen and transfer students in 2009-2010, we find a range of responses. 10 expressed strong interest in competing in intercollegiate bowling and perceived that they had the athletic ability to do so. There was a range of 10 to 20 respondents interested in participating in this sport. 6 expressed an interest and ability in competing in lacrosse with a range of 6 to 16. 5 to 10 expressed an interest in gymnastics. 2 to 8 expressed an interest in water polo. And a few expressed an interest in hockey and in equestrian teams. This survey data suggests that Eastern should continue to monitor potentially growing interest in several of these sports. The interest and ability survey is one of a number of indicators used to assess whether there are sufficient numbers of female students interested and able to sustain varsity teams. The OCR would consider other indicators as well as to determine whether there are sufficient numbers of students to form a team. For example, they would consider the minimum numbers of team participants needed for a particular sport, the opinions of athletic administrators and coaches concerning the abilities required to field a competitive intercollegiate team, and the size of a team in a particular sport at universities within the conference to which the university belongs and in the university's competitive regions. The OCR also considers competitive opportunities offered by other universities against which Eastern competes, and they would also consider competitive opportunities in our geographic region with campuses on which we are not currently competing against. Eastern is assessing the potential interest and abilities of the underrepresented sex to participate in its intercollegiate athletics program in a manner that is in compliance with the guidelines established by the U.S. Office for Civil Rights. We will continue to maintain and enhance this assessment process. Are there any questions?
Questions, anyone? Thank you. Okay, we move to item D, Tarbell Arts Center reaccreditation.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. Tarbell Arts Center, of which we're very proud here at Eastern, is accredited and is currently preparing to go through the reaccreditation process with the American Association of Museums. As part of that process, there's always been a required statement of support and value for such an art center at a university. And the director, Michael Watts, is here, but he tells me that a couple of years ago when Brandeis threatened to sell off portions of their art collection, that the American Association of Museums raised the bar in terms of the level of support that they expected to hear from the institution as part of this process, and they now ask that the board actually affirm the value and integrity, not just a university official. So there is a resolution on page 7, and which in the therefore part, therefore be it resolved, indicates the level of board support that the association is looking for. Again, Director Michael Watts is here in the audience, and he can answer any other questions, and hopefully he won't feel the need to correct anything I just said.
I make a motion to approve that resolution.
Second.
Discussion?
Well, Blair, I'm not sure what that means in terms of if you wish to change the collection some way in terms of selling a piece of art, that's no longer possible?
I can speculate on the answer, but if I may, I'd like to turn that kind of a question directly over to Michael Watts.
Good afternoon. To answer your question, every museum has the ability through their collections policy to alter the collection. What this, what is called in the museum world is the statement of permanence has to do with the fact of wholesale selling of the work with the proceeds not then going back to benefit the collection, but instead being used for other purposes.
Other questions? Well, just a comment. Congratulate you on the reaccreditation, and certainly the Tarbell Arts Center is an asset not only to Eastern, but this part of the state. I know that I visit it frequently. I had the opportunity and enjoy it very much. Roll call, Ms.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Ms. Nemmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wiesing?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Labor agreements. This would be Mr. Miller, I believe.
Mr. Chairperson, thank you. You have, the board has before it today two agreements. One is a labor agreement for the Teamsters Local number 26. It's a successor agreement to one already in place, and the change to this agreement would be a 1% increase in wages. This affects approximately 15 employees here at Eastern. The second agreement is for the Painters District Council number 58, also a successor agreement. Also a 1% increase in wages for this group of employees of about 18. I'd be happy to take any questions at this time and ask the board to consider approving these two agreements.
I make a motion to approve those agreements.
I assume we are taking these separately as far as, so this would be for Teamsters Local 26?
The labor, or the Teamsters, excuse me.
Second?
Second.
Discussion, questions? Roll call, please.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Ms. Nemmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wiesing?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes. And the second item is Painters District Council number 58 successor agreement.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Ms. Nemmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wiesing?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes. Okay. Item F, approval of depositories for non-appropriated funds. Vice President Weber?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. One of the financial institutions in which we deposit local funds has recently undergone a name change. Citizens National Bank is now People's Bank and Trust, and we ask the board's approval to continue using this financial institution as a depository of local funds.
Move approval.
Second.
A motion for this?
I move.
Been moved. Second.
Second.
Questions? Roll call.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wiesing?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes. Just a comment before we move to informational items. I know some of the board members are under constraints, time constraints. Shall we move directly to informational items? Okay. So item four, informational items, President's report.
We just heard about, well, you just approved the resolution in support of the Tarbell Arts Center. The arts at Fine Arts at Eastern are vibrant. They're reaching out to the community. One example I would like to give you is in context of the fine arts program here that you've received. We've raised the bar. We've got all the entire year's programming in here. You can order the tickets online. You can print an e-ticket at your home. You don't have to come to Will Call. Come in. It'll get scanned, and you're in the event. One of the things that we're doing with regard to the outside performers who are coming in, we're working into the contracts, their connection with the community as well. The On Trio, for example, meeting with school children to talk about stringed instruments and so forth. A most recent example, the blues band that was here last weekend met with individuals from CCAR Industries. As you know, CCAR is a partner with Eastern in many ways. But there are individuals who work for CCAR that's their means of employment. They're challenged in many ways, but that's another great example of the outreach. We reach, in terms of arts experiences, Tarbell Arts and Doudna, in a given year, well over 10,000 individuals, young children and other individuals in the community. So I'm just very, very pleased with the way this has come together. I would just add one other thing, and that is that we did cut the ribbon at the Textbook Rental Center today. It was a beautiful day, and I appreciate the remarks of the board chair there and also Dr. Nadler's remarks at that event. That concludes my report.
Can I report as the board chair? I'd like just to comment on a resolution that was adopted by the General Assembly to establish a Higher Education Finance Study Commission, which has been formulated and so far has had two meetings with various consultants addressing members of the commission. One of the statements regarding the summary of the first meeting is that funding policy in Illinois is not tied to achieving the goals of the public agenda. The public agenda is also a initiative by the General Assembly to establish a master plan for higher education in Illinois, which they have done and has implemented, but at least this one consultant indicated that the funding pattern is not following the goals of the agenda. So that is one of the recommendations to see if that is indeed going to be the case. This also is a recommendation that there should be alignment with institutional missions and state priorities. And additionally, there is, at least by this consultant's concern, we're going to have to look at the spending patterns on education and related expenses, which is defined as expenses including instruction, student services, administration, and facility maintenance. The other issue is how does Illinois rank as far as spending patterns with other states? And so they're looking at the Research One institutions, the master's institutions, and community colleges. to see what kind of pattern exists between these three sectors. And as Dr. Perry has stated on more than one occasion, it would appear that his position is that we should be looking at aspects of metrics that I think can be stated as some type of metric involving the equivalent of merit. Now, the metrics for merit that can be expanded, but it would include student retention and graduation rates, expenditure per student, and these types of qualifications, or these types of criteria. The funding, certainly for the public universities, do not follow any or all of those, it's my understanding. So there is that agenda, and it's being followed by various reports in the media about the direction that the state will take for future funding. But the pattern that has existed is certainly has not benefited Eastern Illinois University or other institutions that have, I think, met what we consider the appropriate educational goals. So it will be very interesting to see how this particular commission finally comes up with a report that has been requested by the General Assembly, and if and how it's implemented. That's all remains to be seen. One of the problems with a restructuring of finance is that the availability of money from the state of Illinois is not exactly flush at this time. So we have a cart horse issue. When we get back, hopefully on even keel, then maybe this will have a more appropriate implications or applications. But I think this needs to be followed very closely. I know Dr. Perry attended the August 30th meeting at Harper College and has also sent letters outlining our position to members of the commission. So this particular statement, I think, reflects what we feel here at Eastern Illinois University. And Dr. Perry, I don't know if you want to add to that or not.
Just to say we're going to pursue it vigorously, not only with regard to the commission, but in the interim, working with members of the General Assembly, and then in our testimony and work with the General Assembly next spring.
Okay.
I just wanted to commend President Perry, whoever put the letter together, on performance-based funding argument. I thought it was very effective, very well done, and convinced me at least about the legislation.
Other comments? That will conclude my report as board chair. Move to committee reports. Let's see. Okay, on the executive planning committee, we met this morning, and one of the major items of discussion was just what I went over on the funding patterns that exist in Illinois and potential changes in that pattern in the future. Other than that, I will, what's the other board comments on this executive commission or committee? I will move to board relations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had a good review this morning of activities from the alumni group. This year, the Alumni Services hosted 35 events with a total attendance of over 2,100 alumni and guests. Their annual fund receded in FY10 was $312,108, which is an increase over FY 2009, which, given these economic times, says a lot for the work being done with the Alumni Services Alumni Association. Also got an update on how the campaign is progressing for Eastern, and right now we have achieved over $34 million. that is represented by close to $23 million in cash and pledges and over $11 million in planned gifts. The kickoff for the public launch of the campaign is Friday, October 22nd, which I just want to commend everyone involved with that event, not only the hardworking external steering committee members, but in particular, the staff and all of those on campus here at Eastern. We have been asking a lot of people from across a broad range of departments and staff, and I cannot mention one time that we have not been greeted with the response of whatever we can do to make this event successful for Eastern, we're willing to get the job done. So thank you all very much. You've been great to work with. It's going to be an outstanding event because of the relationship and the hard work and dedication of everyone on this campus. It's really a great coming together of a wide group of people. So thank you all very much, and by the time that Saturday night rolls around, we'll all be ready to sit down with our feet up and some high fives, I'm sure. So thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Finance Audit Committee, Dr. Webb.
Well, we did have a report on some good news. That is the university receiving almost all of its apportionment funding for the past year. But mainly we discuss planning, strategic planning, master planning, financial planning, and a little bit about how these plans maybe overlap and support each other. But I came out of that meeting feeling that certainly with regard to planning, the university is ahead of the curve, and I think bodes well for our future.
Thank you. Any questions for Dr. Webb? Okay, under Academic and Student Affairs Committee, met this morning with a fairly extensive agenda, among which is one that I requested to discuss, and this is the item of dual credit, which you may or may not be familiar with. Dual credit is a program initiated by the Illinois Community College System to offer a college credit course as well as high school credit course in the same classroom for the same student at the same time, with both the high school receiving average daily attendance, essentially awards from the state as far as funding, and the community college is receiving credit hour reimbursement at the same time. So the state is paying twice for the same course. And in the era of financial constraints, I'm wondering about the financial decision that results in this, as well as very limited, if any, quality control on what is actually happening in the classroom. Discussion with Dr. Lord on this. Apparently it's been under discussion with some of the chief academic officers and provosts, but there's been no movement or action on this. This has been addressed in part by the General Assembly. There's a dual credit quality act that was passed, but it has actually in implication or application limited control on academic integrity, so it raises some questions, certainly in my eyes, and I think others as well. With the opening week, we got a summary of various events, including Prowl program and Eastern Reads. Again, this is the fourth year for Eastern Reads, with, I believe, 56 different student groups with facilitators reviewing and commenting on this, I believe, Roman numeral 2. Okay. And I've been requested to assign other board members for this task next year. Just kidding. Anyway, it's a, I think it's a very enjoyable way to start the semester. I enjoyed participating, and my wife is also has volunteered as a facilitator and does a very good job. So we're looking forward to the continuation of this program. I think this particular selection, this I believe both one and two, has been adopted and utilized by at least 12 other universities in the United States, so it's a popular selection. And they're already in the process of moving with a selection for next year at this time as we speak, so a great way to start the semester. On the textbook rental service, I think you've got a briefing on that. Student community service, Jumpstart, give, I believe, number I recorded that 1,600 students participated in community service. It's a great testament to the student body, and congratulate all of those that participated. And I assume we're looking for this program to expand as time.
Yeah, since it's for our new students, there's an upper limit as to how much we can expand it. 1,600 is a very large percentage of our new students. Almost all of them, following up on that great start with our new students will continue through their whole experience here at Eastern. So as we've seen our number of students who are involved in service grow from roughly 4,000 to 5,200?
About 5,400, yeah.
5,400 students over the last 3 years, and as the number of hours have climbed from around 40,000 to 64,000. Yeah, so I think we'll just see that continued impact from having that great start.
Okay, we also received updates on the Doudna performances, both the ones that have already appeared as well as the future schedules. Update on the Lumpkin College Dean Search, weekend 2010, and homecoming of 2010. I might note that I was offered the opportunity to ride in the homecoming parade in a convertible. I have rejected that offer, and instead I will choose to ride my motorcycle in the parade.
Thanks for warning us.
One of my means of transportation as an undergraduate, so I think I will just continue in that tradition. So. Now, if somebody wants, one of the board members wants to ride beside me and throw out candy,
I thought Don volunteered to do that.
Why not?
Be in the sidecar.
Okay. And then I think very interested and seeing the preliminary results on the National Survey of Student Engagement with some of the highlights that was handed out. And this, of course, is a national program, and it's what done about every 4 years, something of that nature.
As part of our participation in the voluntary system of accountability, I believe it's every 3 years, actually.
Every 3 years?
Okay. There is a cycle, and we okay. will be redoing it on that cycle.
So we have the highlights of some of the responses to this student engagement. That's all from the Academic Student Affairs. Nothing at this time from board regulations. So we are to reports from constituencies. I don't know if we...
Is Michelle still here?
Yes, I'm still here. Okay, this will be short. Thank you for inviting me to the textbook rental ribbon cutting. That was super fun. I was super honored to be there. We, during opening weekend, student government had our first night event and our Pantherpalooza event. Both were huge successes. First night had something like 1,500 people come, and Pantherpalooza obviously had much more than that, but both were great successes. We did surveys and got feedback from students about how those went, so really pleased with that. Panther Nation started last Tuesday. We did some restructuring. When I started this whole Panther Nation concept, we did like a board of directors, like four of us, you know, like equal power, and that was just swing and miss. So that was just really a terrible idea. So we've restructured, and now we have a director, and I've created a council of chairs of five people. Mr. Weising is one of them. He's the chair of fundraising, and Mr. Shirley is the chair of membership and recruitment. And then we have another guy for Spirit, a special events person, and a PR marketing. So really excited to get that started. Our opening day for Panther Nation, we had 300 people come sign up, which I thought was really refreshing. So excited to get that going, and I guess unless anybody has any questions, I'm really excited about this year. Seems to be good energy. I'm all about the energy, if you didn't figure that out. So I guess I'll see some of you in Iowa. For sure, Dr. Nadler. Can I answer any questions?
Questions one.
Super. Thank you.
Summary of purchases.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The summary of purchases ranging from $100,000 to $249,999 is on page 15 of your board materials. Of the contracts listed there, I'd like to highlight for the board the last of those for Watts Copy System. The board may be familiar with the Business Enterprise Program, or BEP. As a state agency, we set targets for spending with minority-owned and female-owned vendors. And I'd like to commend our Director of Procurement, Monty Bennett, and his staff for working with Watts Copy System to register with the BEP program. Simply doing business with a minority or female-owned business is not enough. They have to register with BEP, and it is not a trivial registration. Mr. Bennett and his staff work with the Watts Copy System people to get them registered, and this is a significant spend item towards our goals for the BEP. Be glad to answer any questions about any of the contracts that you may have.
Questions? University highlights? Or the fiscal
deposit investments?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, deposits, investments, item F, 2010.
Yes, thank you. This report is on pages 16 through 20 of your board materials. What I would like to highlight for the board is the section on page 19, which shows you the book balance of cash at the end of fiscal year 10. As Dr. Webb mentioned, we've been very fortunate and thankful that the state caught up for almost all of its promised appropriations to us for FY10. However, as you see at that table, that was not the case at the end of June. That was not the case at the end of the fiscal year. The state owed us more than $19 million on our appropriation at that time. And as you can see from the other categories, that was not an easy amount for us to float the state. First of all, I'd like to commend Treasurer McCann and his staff for managing the fund situation in the way they did that allowed us to cover in the short term that hole from the state. And then I'd also like to commend the entire campus community because it took an effort across all of our colleges and divisions to slow down our spending, to purchase only what was necessary, and keep us afloat during this time when state appropriations were not flowing timely. Treasurer McCann is here, and either he or I would be able to answer any questions you have on the deposit and investment report.
Questions, anyone? Thank you. Okay. University highlights.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just especially note three items. One is that President Gilbert Fite passed away recently. There's some information here about the many things that he accomplished, but it's perhaps a confluence of circumstance. We talked about the Tarbell Arts Center today. It was President Fite, to my understanding, who had that initial meeting with Newton Tarbell that got the philanthropy going that's really resulted in a vibrant arts scene here in terms of the Tarbell Arts Center and in continuing our new and emerging artist series that the Tarbell Family Foundation had a hand in terms of their philanthropy. And second, note that the U.S. News and World Report just came out, and EIU was ranked second in the Midwest, 17 states or so among master's institutions. Our students having the second lowest debt, our graduates having the second lowest debt. So that was a very positive message about the affordability of an Eastern education. And then also, I would note that we're retiring Sean Payton's jersey. That's coming up in another week, and I hope that that y'all will be able to participate with us in that weekend. Thank you.
I've noticed that faculty members Janice Coons and Nancy Coutant are doing work on compound smoke when burning tall grass prairie.
Yes, and Dr. Lord may want to comment on that, but I would add that this expertise that we have is actually going to again connect with our Renewable Energy Center. We're going to have some indigenous plantings out there and so forth. So, Dr. Lord, would you like to add any comment?
I don't have too much more to add. Janice Coons and Nancy Marchand have been doing research and for quite a number of years on local indigenous prairie plants, and they are participating in the basically the think tank process right now behind alternative energy and renewable energy center. So they will be part of the biological sciences group that will be working on the alternative sources for biomass fuels.
I was going to recommend that she stop by. I have a prairie project on our campus at Southwestern, and we periodically burn it. Usually upsets everybody in the neighborhood. And, also use the fire science program to assist in the burning. And it turns out that fire science people like to play with fire, so they get a chance to set something on fire. It can be pretty exciting. Fellow in charge of the prairie at the University of Missouri Columbia, his plot is right along Interstate 70. We burn it, the wind shifted, and they had to close down the interstate for an hour. That didn't go over too well. But there was a lot of smoke. So.
Sounds like a good time to make a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second. Adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Dr. Tinley, yes, because we decided we weren't going to do this anymore, but I vote yes.
Okay. Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wiesing?
Yes.
Mr. Yost? Mr. Welch?
Yes. Thank you.
He's got it.